아멘. 아멘. Well, dear friends, we can come to the chapter that I read earlier, Ruth, chapter 2, and we can go through verses 1 through to 13 this morning. And it's timely that we consider this portion this morning in the providence of God. It's Valentine's Day today, and it's all about love and romance. And here you have, in the Old Testament, a story about just that thing, love and romance. Boaz and Ruth meet in this chapter. I don't know if it was love at first sight. It might have been, but there's nothing to indicate that. But certainly, it was a real romance, and it developed into a happy marriage. But more than the romance in terms of human beings, one commentary that I've read on the book of Ruth is called The Romance of Redemption. And I remember once somebody said, a preacher that I read actually, he said, romance is at the heart, the center of the universe. How come? Well, God sought a bride for his son. Romance is at the center of the universe. And the bride, of course, is the church. Now that's interesting, isn't it? It just falls out that they're looking at it in this way today. So it is timely, and it is a wonderful thing to contemplate. Now, this is the account of Ruth meeting with Boaz. We remember the story. Remember how that Naomi and her husband Elimelech with her sons went down into Moab. There was a famine in Israel. They went down into Moab. They thought they'd be better off there, but as time went by, they suffered disaster, really. The three men folk of the family died, father, two sons, and their three widows. And the one goes back to Moab, that's Orpah, but Naomi and Ruth, they go to Israel. And of course, they are destitute as widows. There's no breadwinners in their lives now. They're on their own, and there was no forms of security for them or any financial security. They were completely cast upon the Lord. And the Lord, in his mercy, helps them and provides for them. Now, this is the account then, as I said, of Ruth meeting with Boaz. Little did she know at this point that he was to be her husband and that she would become an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the ways of God are marvelous and past finding out. And we don't know the end from the beginning, but the Lord does. And he will guide us and help us in our days. Our part is not to worry about the future. Our part is to trust in the Lord who holds the future. So this is the story that we have now. Chapter 1 in particular did feature Naomi. She was the main character really in chapter 1 in this drama and this romance story. But she now, Naomi, will take a step back. And she'll go into the background. And Ruth and Boaz will come to the foreground in the remaining chapters of the book of Ruth. So in chapter 2 and verse 1, first of all, we're introduced to this good man. A good man, and his name is Boaz. We're told about him there, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz, as a name, is an interesting name, freely translated as strength. He had strength. He was like a pillar. And there were two pillars in the temple of Solomon, weren't there? One was called Jachin, and the other was called Boaz. And again, freely translating that, the names, the Jachin one, actually means he is established, but you could say firmness. And then Boaz, strength, firmness and strength, the pillars of the temple. Well, Boaz as a man was a strong man as an individual. Not necessarily strong in his physique, but he probably was, but in his character. This is a good man. And the scripture introduces him as such. And he's worthy to note and to learn from. Now, chapter 2, verse 1 tells us about him, that he's a kinsman of her husband, Naomi's. And this Boaz himself was a man of great wealth. Now, that word wealth in the Hebrew is a rich word, and it indicates literal wealth, but it also indicates other things as well. He was rich, actually rich, but not just in gold, but he was rich in goodness as well. And so the word wealth indicates riches, as it would. But the same word was used of Gideon back in Judges chapter 6 and also chapter 11, where the angel of the Lord firstly came to Gideon and said, "Hail thou mighty man of valor." Now the word mighty and valiant man there, I forget which is which now actually, but one of those words there is wealth, the same word, meaning rich towards God and mighty in God, not just in substance, but mighty in God. So it's a rich word, this Hebrew word. And also, we find in Scripture that it carries with it the idea, this word wealth in the Hebrew, carries with it the idea of moral worth. So not just rich in the things of this world, but rich in character and goodness as an individual. This is interesting. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 11, the same word is used about Ruth. And it says there in Ruth, chapter 3, verse 11, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know," here it is, "that you are a virtuous woman." So that's the word, the Hebrew word, which is used of the wealth of Boaz. A virtuous woman. So it's a good word, it's a rich word, and it means all these things at one and the same time. Riches, and valiant, and virtuous, you see? And that's this man. And he was so good a man that that's what could be said about him. Well, we could learn from that, and we could pray, "Oh God, make us ourselves to be like such a person, like such an individual, male or female, that doesn't matter. Help us to know virtue, good things working in our lives, fruit of the Spirit, being all these things working in us and inwardly. Also, help us to be valiant for the Lord, like Gideon was of old, like Boaz is implied or inferred by this word, and let us be like that in the Lord ourselves. In other words, oh God, make us to be spiritual Boaz. Boaz is. Help us to be like that ourselves." So he's a good man and he's introduced in this way. But we mustn't miss this. He was also a relative of Naomi's husband that had died, Elimelech. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of great wealth. His name was Boaz. He was a relative and therefore a kinsman of the family through Elimelech. And therefore, that would make him eligible to become a kinsman redeemer of the widow. Now this is a law that God had introduced, that if a man dies, that his widow could go to his brother, that there may be children of her. And this was what the scripture was teaching in here, and he becomes called a kinsman redeemer later on. And we'll discuss that and look at that in the future. Suffice it to say, at this point, he is a relative, and therefore he's eligible to become this kinsman redeemer. Now, we do see in this man great character. We see goodness in this man throughout the passage. Let's look at that in a little bit more depth. Firstly, I like to say, this man Boaz was a spiritual man. He was wealthy, but he was a spiritual man. This comes out simply by his greeting to his workers. Chapter 2, verse 4. "Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" This man was giving not just a greeting, but a blessing. he's greeting them in the name of the Lord. And that's a little bit of insight into the nature of this individual, Boaz. He enjoyed the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. And consequently, he brought into daily living the things of God. It's perfectly natural that that should be so. He brings into this situation the fellowship of the Lord with the people that were there, the workers. And it's lovely when you see that, when you see that in various individuals. It's not that they're being pious. It's not that they're, you know, displaying any sort of holiness within them, certainly not deliberately, but they're just who they are in the Lord. And it comes out. And it spills over. You know, here we go, preacher's best aid. Whatever's inside will spill out. And what's inside you will come out. Well, this is evidently what was deeply inside this man Boaz, was a love for the Lord. So consequently, he just meets his workers and he greets, "The Lord be with you." How nice is that? How good is that? How pleasant and good is that? And they reply with a similar blessing to him. Spirituality must be brought into daily living. It's not enough for just coming to a meeting. It's not enough about just saying, "Well, I go to church." It's not even enough to say, "I read my Bible and pray every day." You must do those things for your growth. But bring it in a natural, supernatural way, naturally supernatural or supernaturally natural, into your life. And let that be a blessing to those around you. This man indeed, Boaz, was a deeply spiritual character. And this comes out furthermore, I think, by the nature of his generosity. He let her, Ruth, glean in his fields. Now, the law of the word, the law of God, the word of God, was encouraging that. There were certain laws given that gleaning, when the harvest was given out, the corners of the fields or the edge of the fields weren't to be harvested right up to the very edge, but they were to leave some for the poor. And also if they forgot a sheaf of wheat or whatever behind, they wouldn't go back for it. They were encouraged not to go back for it, but leave it for the poor. Well, that was the law, according to the word of God, but people didn't necessarily have to keep that. If they felt that that was being a bit too generous, they could have shooed away the poor. But not with Boaz. On the contrary, he's letting her, he lets her glean in his field, and in fact, he says to the reapers, actually let some more fall to the ground for her. In other words, encourage her and help her all you can. So he's a generous individual, letting her glean. Although a law said that they should do that, he's doing that, though some would say, "I'm not going to do that." He's generous. Now that again is an evidence of God in the man's life, spiritually thinking on the needs of others. It's like the fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament, that you should care for people, that you should have a heart for people, that you should love people, and if it's within your if it's possible for you, within your ability, then provide for them where necessary, particularly if they're in some great difficulty or danger. Help people. Be generous. And furthermore, the spiritual character of Boaz also comes out with how considerate he was towards Ruth. Not just thinking about her need to get food for her and Naomi, but her protection. Because he actually says to her, when he gets into a conversation with her, he says to her, "You stay close by my young women workers, and I have warned the young men, not to touch you, so that you are under my protection." So he's considerate of her. She's very, very vulnerable. She hasn't got a man in her life. And she's on her own. She's in a field. She's with strange people. People that she doesn't know. She's a foreigner. And yet Ruth is cared for by Boaz in this way. He is considerate of her need as a woman. Furthermore, he's considerate right down to thinking about her needs regarding a drink of water. He doesn't get picky over the fact that a Moabite was in his field and could share the drinking vessels with those that were Jews. It didn't become a problem to him. She's going to need a drink of water. It's hot work, it's hard work harvesting fields. And she hasn't got the supply of the water that she needs herself. So I'm going to provide it for her. And I'm not going to have any scruples coming to the fore. She's a Moabite. We are Jews. You go. I've told the workers, you're allowed to drink from the same vessels as them. Now that, I say, is New Testament grace manifesting itself. That's not dry legalism. That is love and grace at work in the man. What do we see ultimately in this character, Boaz? Well, really, we see here a type or a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he really is that. Boaz is a picture of Christ in advance, a prophetic picture. So that when you consider this man and the way he's dealing with Ruth and his workers and all us around him, we see here a man that has the Spirit of Christ and is evidently showing that in his attitude and his outlook. He is very much like the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, generous to a fault. Our Lord Jesus Christ, considerate of the smallest needs in our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging us to worship God in the common things of life, in the daily things of life, bringing the blessing of the Lord into the ordinary things of everyday life. That's a good thing to think on. Boaz is a type of Christ. But we must also say this. If Boaz is a type of Christ, then surely he could be, and he should be, a type of what a Christian should be like as well. Surely a Christian should be generous and considerate and spiritual and enjoy the things of God and bring them into daily living and bring that as a blessing to people. We had a lovely time in Ruth. I'm not quite with it today. I had a tired week. I've had a cough. But it's coming out losing my track of thought a little bit. But we had a lovely time, not in the book of Ruth when we were studying. I meant to say Romans. It's the R, see? That's connecting the thoughts. But we had a lovely time in Romans, didn't we? And do you remember when we were back in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we had there. Here we go. Rejoicing, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now that's lovely, isn't it? We looked at that, remember? Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now Boaz was doing that. Christ is like that and does that. And that's what we are called to be like as well. Or verse 13, Romans 12. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Boaz did that. He shared, he was generous, he helped this woman in her need. Given to hospitality. Or over there in chapter 15 and verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Boaz was strong, and he cared for Ruth, and he thought upon her. We have in this man a very good man, a picture of Christ, and a picture of what the Christian should aspire to. God help us to be like that. So that's firstly the good man in the passage. But going on through chapter 2 of Ruth, we can carry on. We see now God's provision for the poor. Now I've already indicated this. Ruth actually asks for permission to glean. Let me just give you the verses that refer to the gleaning. There are not many of them, so it won't be hard to bear. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18 and verse 19. And this is what it says there. Therefore, the Lord says to Israel, therefore, love the stranger For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God. Love the stranger. That's the first thing. Moabites were strangers in Israel. Ruth was. And yet there's the exhortation to be loved. And then you can go to Leviticus 19. And I think that is specifically about the gleaning. Leviticus 19 and verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And with that Deuteronomy scripture, Deuteronomy 10, love the stranger. So you can see how important it is. Now God did that and gave those laws out of care for the poor, for those who had no provision, nothing really going for them at all in this world. Out of pity, he was concerned for them in that way. And so Ruth learnt about those laws. No doubt Naomi instructed her, told her about it. She would have thought about that. She said, I wonder if I could do that as a source of income at this time. And so she actually requests permission from Naomi to go and to glean. That's back in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. We're seeing now in Ruth great humility. She is a new convert. She is someone that God has wrought in her heart a saving change. And she now knows what the law of the Lord is, and she wants to carry that out. Here's a provision that God in his love and pity has provided, and so she asks for permission, and that does demonstrate her humility there, asking that of Naomi. Now God does care for the poor. Therefore, we must ask this question. Does the church care for the poor? Is it right that we get involved? Evidently we must. We must also think on the things of others likewise. We must care for those that come into our midst. And as we have opportunity, let us do good. And so, as God cares, so we must care likewise. Now, she went into the field to glean there, and we see that God was guiding her footsteps. Because we read there in chapter 2 and verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. This is God's guidance of Ruth. God guided footsteps of this individual. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man, and you have to apply it to the ladies of course, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. He guides. There are no chances in life really. It might look like that from time to time. In like very strange, some of the things that happened to me. That was amazing. But if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, all that comes to pass truly is ordained of God. And even the means to the end is ordained of God. So, God is in control. Romans chapter 11 verse 36 says that of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Everything. Absolutely. He is a sovereign Lord. Now, she goes down into the fields to glean. God had provided that provision. She goes down. It seems she did start in some other area of the fields. The fields, by the way, wouldn't have been anything like our fields. They were long strips, and there were no particular boundaries, no hedges. It was usually some significant stones that marked out the edges, as it were. And she started in one place, but she ends up in the place where Boaz had his property, where Boaz's field was. And I like the way it's worded. There it says that verse 3, she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. The AV says along the lines, perhap, or something like that. I haven't got that. And it looks like chance, but it isn't. It's God guiding this individual. He is in control. Now, she had to do what she had to do, but God is steering her. Now, there's a lesson for us all here. If we believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm sure we do, we mustn't therefore then say, well, I'll just rest on my laurels. It'll all work out. I'll just leave it with the Lord and do nothing. No, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we must do what is necessary as we see fit, using common sense. Ruth had to avail herself of the opportunity to glean. She could have heard from Naomi, well, there is a law which says you can go and glean in the fields and gather a bit of food that falls on the side, the wheat and the grain or whatever. And Naomi could have told her that. And Ruth could have said, well, that's great, isn't it? And just remained at home and done nothing. But she acted upon it. And this is where the balance comes in the Christian life. And we'll never fully work this out, how it works, sovereignty and human responsibility and sovereignty. But overall, it is the sovereignty of God, but he uses means. So if I believe in the sovereignty of God, I've got to carry that through and do something with it. You see, you have to act. You have to avail yourself of what God is saying and what God provides. And so here we see God guiding Ruth as an individual. Now this doctrine of the true sovereignty of God over all things, right down to even a sparrow coming to the ground, is intended to encourage us and help us. We'll never fully understand it, but it is there to help us and inspire us. It should help us to rest in God's loving care and to cease from striving in our lives. You see some individual Christians though, and there's a sense of striving in their lives, a sense of they're always trying to make things happen, and they feel as if it's all up to them. And they give you that impression. And you worry about them. Because they put it like this, in my opinion, they're just trying too hard. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And you can commit all your ways unto the Lord. You've got to do what you have to do, of course. You've got to. The common things of life, the common sense things of life. But you can cease from striving if you believe in this. This was put well by the great Charles Simeon. Here's a quote. Listen to this. What is before us, we know not, whether we shall live or die. But this we know, that all things are ordered and sure. Everything is ordered with unerring wisdom and unbounded love by thee. Our God, who art love, grant us in all things to see thy hand through Jesus Christ our Lord. How lovely is that quote? Well done, Mr. Simeon, so long ago. So God guided the footsteps of Ruth. God provided the provision of gleaning, and God guided her into that, and he guided in more particular into the field of Boaz, where he takes notice of her. I guess it might be true to say that if she'd been in some other part of this big open space that it was divided up into strips where they were working, he may not have noticed her. But here she is in his field, in his portion. And that was truly of God as well. The ways of the Lord are past finding out. And then we can come to this. Grace given and graciousness revealed. Boaz does notice her. Chapter 2, verse 5. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And they give the answer and the reply, this is the young Moabite that came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She has asked, could she gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She's actually worked hard all day. She's borne the heat and the burden of the day. She's only rested a little bit. So That's who she is. Now, he's noticing her. He discerns that this woman is a special individual. Boaz discerns that about Ruth. He hears from these workers what kind of woman she is. She has given up everything to be with Naomi. She could have chosen a life of ease, really, and gone back with Orpah into Moab. But out of love for Naomi and Naomi's lord, which was now her lord, she gave up the old and followed after the new. And she has shown kindness to Naomi in great measure. And so because of this, Boaz wants to bless her. He recognizes that she's a very unique individual. She herself, Ruth, in her whole attitude and outlook, is displaying a new nature. The submissiveness that she has to authority in the passage, first to Naomi, then to the reapers, asking permission to glean. She's showing that her life has changed. She's got a new nature from God. And she submits to the Lord, really, in all these things. She's recognizing that there are power structures and structures of authority that God has put in place in this world and in this life. And she yields to that. First to her mother-in-law, then to the reapers, and then to Boaz. And that, again, dear friends, is a mark of conversion. That you're happy to submit to the powers that be. That you recognize that God has put these places in place. I don't mean to say, of course, you can't protest. You can, and that's perfectly right to do. And if the powers that be seek to get you to do evil, like the apostles, you can say, we would rather obey God than man. You say no to evil and yes to good. But overall, generally speaking, God has put these things in place. And you know, in this simple way, it's only in the field, but you see this coming out in Ruth, this submissiveness and this humility as well. She's humble. She now gets into a conversation with Boaz, and verse 8, then Boaz says, you listen to me, my daughter. He's commanding her, really. He says, don't go gleaning in anyone else's field. You stay in mine. You stay by my young women. I've told the men that they're not to do you any harm or to touch you, and you can drink of the water that everyone else is drinking of. And then what you see now in Ruth revealing her new nature, the grace of God given to her and graciousness revealed, you see in verse 10, great humility again. She falls on her face. She bows down to the ground. And she says to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? She's asking why. She knows that she's a foreigner. She's not proud. She's humble here. Now we can apply that. What do we see here in terms of the Spirit? Well, Ruth sees herself as one receiving grace. She didn't deserve it, but it is freely given. Firstly of Boaz, but ultimately from God. Surely we must be like this. We recognize ourselves to be strangers from God by nature. We recognize ourselves to be sinners also. And yet God gives to those who repent and call upon his name grace and favor. So that's wonderful. She is humble, and she's also full of thanksgiving. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me? Now Boaz, he had heard a good report about her. That comes out in verse 11. He says there, it's been fully reported to me all that you have done. I have heard of your faithfulness and of your love to Naomi and to the Lord, and I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. And I want to help you to go on with your newfound faith in God. Therefore, I will help you. Put it another way. She had sown goodness in being faithful to Naomi, and now she's reaping goodness from Boaz. What you sow, you reap. That's a principle that works right throughout all of life, especially in the Christian life. And she now is beginning to enjoy the rewards of her faithfulness. It's coming back to her in the form of blessing. He puts a blessing upon her. He says to her, he's praying for her really, verse 12, the Lord repay your work And a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel. And here's a lovely phrase. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. She wasn't trusting in the gods of Moab. She knew they were but idols. She had come to trust in the God of Israel, the God and Father of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father now, as we know, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for her, it was like she's come under the protection of God, being manifested through Boaz. Because God will do that. He'll make known his love through human means, very often. And he's asking and praying for a blessing upon her. Just to, as I come to close, these wings, the wings of the Lord, under whose wings you have come to trust. God, in several places in Scripture, depicts himself as a great bird, like an eagle, that will watch over and protect his young, its young, and care for them in every way. That comes out in Deuteronomy. But there's a run of that, of this idea in the book of Psalms. We can just do this briefly, and then we'll close. Psalm 17, you have there a reference to God and his wings. Psalm 17, verse 8, this is what it says there. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. So when God spreads his wings, as it were, over you, you're in a place of safety. Ruth was experiencing that. Although humanly she had no security, yet because she was trusting in the Lord, Boaz recognizes this. He says, you're now in a place of safety, Ruth. The wings of God have been spread over you. Also, you will have refreshment. You will also have stillness. I've missed one out, but Psalm 57, verse 1. And again, this is the idea there. Have mercy upon me. That's wrong. 57. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities be past. That's a place of rest and stillness in the Lord. A safety and stillness. That you can be sure that God will watch over you and care for you. And there's the shadow of his rest. Likewise, Psalm 63 and verse 7 there. And this is what it says to close. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Ruth, Boaz is saying to her, I've heard all about you. I know what kind of woman you are. You are good and gracious. You've shown that in your love and faithfulness to Naomi. And now you've come to trust in the wings of the Lord. And his wings over you will be a protection for you and a refuge for you. A place of safety, a place of stillness, a shadow in a hot land, as it were. And you will be blessed, Ruth, because God is with you. And as I close, we can surely say, if anyone puts their trust in the Lord, they can know exactly what Ruth was experiencing there, then. And we can trust the Lord for all that lies ahead of us. God is a caring God, a providing God, a good God, and a gracious God. And he watches over his people and all that we could become. Those that truly, like Ruth and Boaz, of course, trust in the Lord and commit your way to him, and he will guide your footsteps. Well, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his precious word. Amen.